Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander at Engineering. Today's show on the other side of the glass. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this first Wednesday of the new year. It's Wednesday, January 7th, 2015. We are launching into our fifth year on the Buckmaster Show this week, celebrating 4-year anniversary last week. My, how time flies. We are coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts and our complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. There are links to the show on the home pages of the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. And our newest media partner is Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, TucsonLifestyle.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. And if you want to call us on the live line, it'd be great to talk about New Year's health resolutions. That will be the topic of the first half hour of the show. Did you make a New Year's resolution this year? And if so, was it health related? And we'd like to hear what that resolution is. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Dr. Victoria Mays, is the contributor on health to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health at the UA. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. She's also the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about Dr. Mazes on her fine website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com. And you can follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Dr. Mazes, Happy New Year. How are you?
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well. I'm doing great.
Did you make a New Year's resolution?
I didn't. I am not a New Year's resolution kind of person. I often think it's a wonderful opportunity to reflect and sometimes to set goals. But to me, that's a little different from a New Year's resolution. They seem to be often unsuccessful.
Well, there was an article, interesting article in the New York Times, the Sunday Review, How to Keep Your Resolution. And they mention there that very few folks do keep the resolution going for very long.
Yes.
In other words, there's a couple of weeks, I don't know, maybe 6-8 weeks, and then it's over.
Yes, and I think that's one of the problems with New Year's resolutions, is if fundamentally you are ready to make a change in your life, linking it to something, a new beginning can be helpful, the new year. But what is it going to take for you to make a sustained change in your life? And that's an important question that I think people have to ask themselves.
I think the first thing, and they point this out in the article, How to Keep Your Resolutions, really have a concrete plan, not just some, well, I'm going to lose weight.
Right, right.
Which is probably the top New Year's resolution.
It is certainly in the top five. Health-related New Year's resolutions are very common. And I agree with you, having a specific plan. So, for example, if your plan is to lose weight, how much weight would you like to lose? Manageable amounts, reachable amounts. So for many people, 10 pounds rather than 50 is a much more reasonable strategy. What specifically will you do? Will you increase your exercise or commit to begin exercising? Will you eliminate sugary beverages from your diet? Will you make some other kind of change? You know, put healthy snacks right in the front of the refrigerator, so when you come home starving, the first thing you reach for is something that's a better choice.
Well, it's no secret, and we've talked about it before, mm-hmm. Dr. Mays, is I love cookies. I'm kind of the cookie monster, and I decided last year I was going to lose 5 pounds, and I did lose 5 pounds, but as Ed on the other side of the glass, we've talked before, you know, you just look at the calendar in November and December, it seems like you're going to gain 5 pounds, and that's what always seems to happen, at least with me anyway, mm-hmm. so, again, the resolution is to now lose a little weight.
Yeah. Well, maybe we need pre-New Year's resolutions then.
There you go. There you go.
So that in November, the resolution is we will ask everyone at the workplace not to bring cookies and chocolate and all those other temptations to work.
The temptations. And one day here at the station, I swear, there was enough sugar there to probably fuel people for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it is very tempting, of course, people bringing in goodies. But certainly make a concrete plan and then try to stick to it. And then when you make a resolution, how about putting something of value on that resolution?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, and I think the New York Times article pointed to this, you could bet for or against yourself. There are now websites where you can wager, you know, how successful you'll be. And for some people, that helps. I think that gets to the larger point of keeping ourselves accountable. So it actually helps sometimes, if we're trying to make a change, to tell people. For example, people who are planning to quit smoking may set a quit date, and then they may, you know, want to tell the people around them that they are planning to quit on September 1st, and, you know, these were the things that would be encouraging, or if I'm a little irritable, you know, to please understand, to hold themselves accountable because they have announced it to their friends, their family, their coworkers, etc.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe Russ has called us on the live line and has a nutrition question. Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate this. Real quick comment and a question. It's funny, I just got back from Sam's Club and everything is diet stuff. All the main area there where they have the new products and everything is all people's diet things. So, again, I think that's part of the resolution. But I just got through living in Europe for a couple of years, and I noticed a big difference in the quality and the contents of the food. I noticed that I look at ingredients here more, and it kind of scares me. You buy a yogurt, and there's like 17 ingredients, including tilapia, which they use for a protein powder, as opposed to when I was living in Italy. You bought yogurt, those 4 ingredients, sugar, milk, culture, and some fruit. So I have a feeling that might be some of the problem we have with our obesity. I just needed your comment.
And Russ,
the answer off the air.
Yeah. Russ, before you leave, did you make a New Year's resolution concerning your weight levels?
Well, I agree with Dr. Victoria. What I basically do is I just kind of like reflect back and what really needs to be concentrated on. So rather than frustrate myself, what I just do is this, you need to work on this, and I do that.
Okay. Thank you, Russ.
Sure.
So thank you so much for that comment. I could go in many different directions with what you said, but let's start with yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yogurt, when you look at the label, it would be really great if it said cultured milk.
Right.
And then listed the probiotics that are in it, which could be a variety of different kinds of lactobacillus, et cetera. And there's really no reason for there to be anything else. But if you pick up the label and look carefully, you may find, especially actually in the non-fat, which people often think are healthier, or the low-fat, that there's a lot of sugar. You know, that there are all sorts of other ingredients. And I was shocked to hear your comment that there is tilapia, because fish is something that some people might be sensitive or allergic to and not necessarily expecting it to see in their dairy product, mm-hmm, not necessarily looking for that. So it reminds us that we do need to read labels. You don't have to read them forever. I have a favorite yogurt that I eat, and you know, the ingredients, you know, don't really change. So once you pick a healthy one, which, as I said, shouldn't contain any added sugar, if you would like to have it a little sweeter, think about sweetening it yourself. You could put a spoonful of honey in.
Mm-hmm.
You could add fresh fruit to it. you could add some dried fruit if you want, or in my yogurt, I put in nuts and flaxseed and all sorts of cut up fruit that I may have. And I don't find the need to add any sugar to that. But to be cognizant that a lot of the processed food and yogurt could be included as a processed food, although, you know, it could be minimally processed, we have to pay attention to what is actually in them. And diet foods, we could talk more about.
Well, I noticed at the supermarket there is a huge push now for Greek yogurt. And it's almost like the manufacturers are switching from kind of the traditional yogurt now over to the Greek yogurt. And I'm not quite sure what has spurred this, but I've noticed there's a huge variety now of Greek yogurts available.
Yeah, I agree. I see them as well. I think it's a marketing push because essentially milk, yogurt is cultured milk and these lactobacillus or other probiotics. It's hard for people to sell food and distinguish themselves in the marketplace if it's an apple or a cherry, right, or, you know, a banana or a vegetable. And so they modify those products and try to sell more.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Russ called us on 790-2040, and you're welcome to call as well. If you have any nutrition questions, perhaps you made a health resolution like so many people, we'd love to hear from you on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
This is Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance. When it comes to parties and events, I always use Arizona Party Rental, where quality and customer service are their priority as well.
This is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
I'm Diana Cannon, Tournament Director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shoot. If you're planning an event, big or small, put Arizona Party Rental on your team.
Hi, this is Andy Brown. I've been in the special event business over 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
This is Bob Schaff. For your next party or event, don't think about calling anyone but Arizona Party Rental. Their selection is amazing, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes, our health contributor, is with us. Dr. Mazes and I have been talking about how to keep those New Year's resolutions. Certainly, health is one of the top resolutions. And maybe people really, Dr. Mazes, don't need to necessarily make a health resolution when it comes to the weight area. Perhaps they're looking in the mirror and they're seeing, well, I look fat. And maybe they don't, and if they feel good, maybe they don't need to lose weight.
Well, we are a little crazy in our society about weight. Oh, that's not a technical diagnosis there. But
right, of course.
And I think that yes, sometimes our almost seeming obsession as a society with weight is not a good place to put our attention. And we might actually tend to our body image a little more gently and just appreciate what is. Appreciate this body that moves us in the world and, you know, can function well. And so if people are really wrestling with just, oh, I wish I were 10 pounds lighter, 5 pounds lighter, you know, I wish I didn't have that one little bulge there, maybe we could just hold ourselves a little more gently.
You know, we were talking about the difference, well, the increasing influx of Greek yogurt products mm-hmm. that I've noticed at the supermarket. Also seeing a lot more gluten-free products. It used to be that you had to get the gluten-free products at a specialty kind of a health food store. They're very much mainstream now.
Absolutely. This is a multi-billion dollar industry at this point. And celiac disease, which is the autoimmune condition where people cannot tolerate gluten at all and is a serious condition, is not for the most part what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who have a more mild intolerance. They may have bloating or constipation. They may have joint achiness or skin rash or reflux, heartburn. Some people say that they have brain fog when they eat gluten. So it could be a really wide range of symptoms that people experience that they notice goes away when they eliminate gluten-rich food. So this is a very big industry.
Is there any way to determine through a test whether someone has gluten sensitivity?
Celiac disease can be detected through a biopsy of the colon. That's usually done during a colonoscopy, or we have blood tests that we can do as well to diagnose it. But this more mild gluten sensitivity mm-hmm. is tested by having people eliminate gluten for a period of 3 weeks. And you have to be rather strict about it during the elimination trial. So it's not just wheat, but it's also like semolina flour, which is in pasta often. It's rye. It's barley. Mm. It's the malt that may be in a milkshake. You wouldn't think that would have wheat or wheat starch. Some candies have gluten in them. So this awareness, and there are many places people can find the long list of things that can contain gluten, this awareness and strict elimination for 3 weeks, followed by a re-challenge. So if over the 3 weeks you start noticing, perhaps you've lost weight, perhaps your heartburn has gotten better, your skin has gotten clearer, you feel like you're thinking more clearly, you have more energy. These are all wonderful wonderful things. Then at the end of the trial period, you re-challenge yourself with gluten. And if the symptoms return, then you know, well, indeed, I may be sensitive. And you again eliminate.
All right, let's go back to the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Kim is with us with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'll start by saying I do not make New Year's resolutions. When I need to make a change, I just make a change. But my question is one that most people don't like, because I need to know how to gain weight. And let me say that I'm pre-diabetic. I watch my diet very carefully. My last three A1C tests have been 5.8. So I know I'm doing well on that, but today I weighed myself and I was 113. So without piling on a bunch of carbs, how can I gain weight?
Ah, interesting question. Thank you, Kim.
That's a great question. And, you know, in our society, again, because we have this obsession with weight loss, we're often not very gentle with people who actually need to gain weight. So I appreciate your bringing that on air. You can certainly gain weight without eating carbohydrates. And what I would recommend is that you increase the healthy fats. So you can enjoy avocados, and that's a very healthy fat, and it's rich in calories. You can enjoy nuts. Nuts can be healthy for all of us, but you can eat more than most of us can, and that can be helpful. There is a resource that I often use with people who have to gain weight that has to do with making high-calorie smoothies, where you add nuts or avocados or other calorie-dense foods and make a smoothie, and that can help with increasing weight as well. And maybe we could put that up on your Facebook page, mm-hmm. Bill? Would that
yeah,
work?
Sure. If yeah. you would like to send that along, Victoria, over to Bill Buckmaster on the Facebook page. We will share it with all of our nearly 4,000 followers. That would be great. So, but that's a question we just don't hear much about. We're always obsessed with this lose, lose, lose. But some people, I don't know, is it a metabolism thing in many cases where they just can't gain weight?
It's probably multifactorial.
Okay. All right.
I think that certainly some people metabolize much faster. We have different genetics. I mean, right. you certainly see families where everyone in a family is quite thin, and it seems that they could eat whatever they want and as much as they want,
and everybody gets so jealous. You know, there's always that one yeah. person at the Thanksgiving or Christmas table who says, "You know, I just don't gain weight,"
right.
and then they take another huge helping of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, once in a rare while, someone may have a parasite, that interferes with their absorption of food. There can be other reasons that people malabsorb food, so there can be a variety of reasons, but it is quite unpleasant for the people who struggle on that side of the continuum.
How are we looking for the Center for Integrative Medicine in 2015 and doing getting a clinic down here?
Well, the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona is really thriving. We have a brand new set of educational programs, Integrative Health and Lifestyle Program, which is open to nurses and registered dietitians and social workers and mental health professionals. We are about to begin a coaching program, which is a brand new program. It starts next month, and we are looking to open an integrative primary care clinic. The builders are telling me it's more likely to be winter of 2016 as opposed to 2015 fall, but it's still in the works.
And there is now in the Phoenix area, right, a clinic?
Absolutely.
And how is that done?
So we have a wonderful integrative primary care clinic in downtown Phoenix. It is open to people from the community who are interested in getting their care there. And as well, we take care of people who work at the Salt River Project and for Maricopa County. And there's a team of people who provide integrative primary care, doctors, nurses. There's a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, a nutritionist, a mental health professional. There are group visits.
Wow.
It's a wonderful clinic.
Full team approach. I've got a minute or so left. I think we can work in one more call on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Judith, go ahead. You're with Dr. Victoria Mazes.
Hi there. I, rather than resolutions, try to adopt and continue an attitude of gratitude. thank you notes are rather rare anymore in the mail compared to what they used to be, and I try to keep up with that. But I would just like to thank your guest for what she does. Wondered how long it's been since somebody's just thanked you for applying your expertise and sharing it, and it's so valuable. And the world's direction is going, you know, pharmaceuticals, and it's side effects. I just wanted to thank you so much for doing what you're doing and encourage others to heed your wisdom.
Thank you, Judith. That's lovely. And I will tell you that on my Twitter this year, I posted an unusual New Year's resolution, developing a gratitude practice. So thank you for expressing your gratitude. Thanks to Bill for having this show and for inviting me to be on it. And, you know, that's for many people a wonderful, not so difficult new practice to include in one's life.
Very nice. And we do thank Dr. Mazes for battling a construction zone over on Campbell. She made it, and we're very glad she did. A lot of construction going on at Campbell, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrible traffic.
Oh, boy.
Something I wasn't so grateful for today.
There you go. Victoria Mazes with us, and folks can find out more about Dr. Mazes, victoriamazesmd.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at vmazes, and we also want her to on her Facebook page, too, also. Thanks a lot, Victoria.
Pleasure to be here.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and to you and your listeners as well.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
5-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
5-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on this midweek edition of Buckmaster. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Steve Kasacek, Steve K., the councilman representing Ward number 6 in the city of Tucson. Steve, a Democrat. Happy New Year to you.
Tim G. Bill, good to be on the show again.
Well, we were talking about New Year's resolutions and losing weight. That is something that you don't need to do because whenever I see you, I'm out driving around, you're running like 20 miles.
Well, I went 12 today. I'll go about 12, 13 a day. Yeah, so that's not on my resolution list.
Is there a resolution?
No, I just pretty much slow and steady wins the race. I just kind of stay consistent. I don't make resolutions because it just gives me something to have to focus on, and I got plenty of that on my plate right now.
You had an op-ed piece in the Star, I think it was Sunday's paper, talking about that you believe the community really came together to solve some common problems that we all share in 2014. Was that the crux of the op-ed?
Yeah, it really was, and we have a really engaged community, and that's one of the things that makes it so rewarding to serve in this capacity. I called out a few items. One was the response to the women and the children that were being dropped off at the Greyhound bus station. Another one was on the multifaceted issue of gun safety and mental health treatment. And then some of the challenges that we've been facing with respect to the growth of the university around campus. In each of those cases, when you send out the SOS and say, can we get some all hands on board and get people to step up to the plate and help work for creative solutions, it is always the case that I've got people stepping up and saying, yeah, we're engaged and we're involved. So that's a rewarding part of this. And I could have listed several other very significant issues too that we have going on. And maybe it's a kind of a Ward 6 thing because we have a lot of the challenges in this ward that maybe some of the other wards don't. Like, for instance, out on the Far East Side, they don't have the challenges of the growth of the university and historic preservation and some of those kinds of things. And so the neighborhoods are engaged, the businesses are engaged, and we always get a good turnout and a good robust discussion.
Do you hear that too much emphasis is being placed on the revitalization of downtown Tucson to the detriment of some of, as you said, some of the other, like the Far East Side or some of the other areas of this very wide, sprawling city of Tucson?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I don't think it's an either-or. I think it's a both-and. And so my focus has been on the revitalization of downtown and the corridor between the campus and the downtown core. That's Ward 6. If I were to start working on economic development out on the Far East Side, out on Houghton Road and all that, then Shirley Scott and Paul Cunningham would kind of look at me and say, why are you messing in our stuff? So I've been really focused on downtown. We have done some annexation around Tucson International Airport. We've got a greater economic development district that does run alongside the southeast corridor of town. We put those into place. So it's not as though we're not focused on the other parts of town. My focus has been primarily on the area midtown and the central core of the city. So that's one thing. And the second point I would make is that If you go to any major metropolitan area in the country, you will find that those that are successful have a vibrant and thriving downtown core. It attracts tourism, it attracts arts entertainment districts, it attracts a lot of the things that we're seeing right now with respect to retail and housing, both student and non-student. And so that really has been the focal point of many cities, urban renewal, urban development, starting at the downtown core and working out. So we've covered a lot of ground in the last 5 years since I started this gig, and we're going to keep going downtown. But frankly, we have done other things in other parts of the city.
Speaking of downtown, the Tucson Convention Center, there has been a facelift down there to try to make it more amenable to the customer, and many people had a chance to see that upgrade at the Beach Boys concert. Some folks have said they were disappointed with the attendance, but those that were there say that they certainly gave kudos to the sound system and the seating. What do you think?
Well, when we began the renovation project, the Rio Nuevo Group and some of the city staffers asked me to get involved hands-on because of the work that I do in the athletics department, and that is managing capital projects. So I was happy to do that. One of the common themes moving forward on that project was that we have one chance to get this right, or the headline is going to be the city and Rio Nuevo screw this thing up again. And we've seen plenty of those in the last decade. So we sat down as a group and managed this project with a fixed budget. Rio Nuevo ended up about $8 million. The city threw some money in for some infrastructure above ceiling improvements that you'll never see. And I think we came out with about as good a product as we could for the amount of money that we had. $8 million may sound like a lot, but when you start doing things like replacing lighting systems and sound systems and all the seating in the bowl and upgrading the color palette, the restrooms, concessions, that money gets chewed up pretty quickly. So I think the finished product was good for what we had to spend. In terms of the sound system, that is a house system. It is never going to be an acoustically stellar building. It wasn't built to be a concert hall. It's an athletic and entertainment venue, and so people who expected to come in and hear real concert quality sound, their expectations were misplaced, and it will never be that. With respect to some of the comments people have been making about bringing in more major concerts now. Bill, we covered this in some of our early project meetings, and I pointed out to them that this is going to sound a little bit in the weeds, but the low steel in that building, the structural steel, is too low for a lot of the major concerts, and from a structural stability standpoint, it doesn't hold the weight. It doesn't have the weight bearing capacity. So so people who say, yeah, we used to do Aerosmith and we did all these shows back in the 70s, well, that's true back then, but back then major rock concerts were asking 30, 40, 50,000 pounds of sound and lighting. When I did Garth Brooks in McHale, and that's a country show, about 6 or 7 years ago, that was a 90,000-pound show. Mm. Major rock shows now are 100,000 pounds and up, and so the steel is too low, the weight-bearing capacity is insufficient to do major shows. And also, we're never going to be an A market, and that's not a bad thing. It's just what Tucson is. We're what's called a SMERF market, and that's social, military, educational, religious, and fraternal kinds of events that we bring in. So we'll get the occasional show that'll come in and agree to do a scaled-down version of their major show, and they'll do it when they're traveling between Phoenix and L.A. or some of the major markets. So we'll get those occasionally, but the TCC is never going to be a major concert venue. It's not built for it. It doesn't have the structural capacity for it, and we're not the market for it.
All right, 790-2040. Matt has called us on the Buckmaster Show. He has a question for Steve Kasachek. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, yeah, Steve. I know we're starting the new year, and I was just curious, how do you feel that the selection process for the city manager is going? Because I think we have a wonderful interim city manager. She seems to be very astute. She's doing a good job, and I think she's going to do a great transition too. But ultimately, that is still an unfilled position. And I was just curious, how do you think it's going right now? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Yeah, Martha Durkin is the interim city manager. She is doing a good job. I think that we chose wisely. One of the conditions that we placed on that selection, though, was that whoever applied or whoever we chose for the interim would not be eligible for the permanent manager's position. The reason we did that was because from the experience we had when we chose Richard Miranda as the interim and then selected him for the regular position, we felt that people from the outside saw that as it was kind of a done deal, the fix was in, and that it may have depressed the applicant pool. And so we made that a condition so that Martha is not going to be one of the candidates, one of the finalists, or even eligible, frankly. And so what we've done to get to Matt's question is we've hired a selection team, a headhunter, who's right now putting together the selection criteria. They're going to do a nationwide search, and frankly, I hope that we get a lot of interest in the position. It pays, you know, a couple hundred grand a year. We're not a chump market, and we are, you know, we have a lot of development going on in the area that I think will make us an attractive place for someone to land. One of my preferences, in fact, I've been pretty public about it, is that I want some new blood. We have qualified people on the city staff right now who might want to apply. I think that we owe it to the community to bring some new blood in at this point and get some new, fresh ideas and, you know, put some new thoughts on the table. We're not going to do this fast by design. We're going to do it right. And so I don't think that any of us feel any particular compelled to make a quick selection. I suspect we will get through this next budget cycle and then have somebody have a short list in place probably around summertime.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. When we come back with Councilman Steve Kasachek, we'll talk about Parks and Rec, an update on golf, and that continuing at 790-2040. Give us a call on the live line. Jim will be up first when we come back after the break.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
You've worked hard all your life, and there's no way you're about to bend over the hood of your car and fix it. I'm Mike Emery, and I'd like to respectfully suggest that you take your car or truck to Perfection Auto Works. In addition to specializing in Porsche, Audi, VW, and Mercedes-Benz, we can fix your Lexus, Chevy, Ford, and even your Nash. Call today, 323-8650, or visit our website at perfectionautoworks.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi,
Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great getaway, whether it's for a weekend or a couple of days midweek. Just 3 hours from Tucson, offering hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. You can find out about the complete list of great places to stay, like Bear Creek Cabins, and the things to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, by visiting their website, and that is southwestnewmexico.org. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Ward 6, with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, waiting patiently to talk with the councilman is Jim Kelly. Jim, how are you?
I am well today, Bill. Thank you so much for allowing me on the show. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I love your updates, and I get your emails weekly on what's happening in Ward 6. My concern in Ward 6 right now is golf. Is it a luxury we can no longer afford, and will you consider expanding Reed Park to include taking back Randolph Park Golf?
Okay, two different questions, but they're interrelated. First of all, with respect to golf, it is an enterprise fund. It is charged with paying its own way, the same way Environmental Services and Tucson Water are. So we have an obligation to look at that from the standpoint of a business model. Frankly, the likelihood is, and even some of the professional management companies around the country, including OB Sports, who we have in play right now, are recognizing, conceding that rounds played are decreasing. That may be a demographic thing, and maybe lots of factors. It also may be a supply and demand thing, that we have a lot of golf courses in this region, but so they're kind of cannibalizing each other in terms of the amount of play. City of Tucson has 5 courses. Do we need 5 courses? Probably not. Do we have the luxury to just offload, for instance, Silver Bell Golf Course and turn it into an industrial park? No, we don't, because every one of the 5 courses that we have land use restrictions that are built into them based on conditions that were put in place when the city purchased the land years and years ago, and they're all different. But one of the common themes is that they all have to remain some sort of a public open space and or parks purpose. Randolph Park, Reed Park, we have 2 courses there. They're Midtown. Both of them have been PGA professional quality courses in the past. And frankly, Jim, they're the only ones that are doing well in terms of play and in terms of the financials that OB Sports has already shared with us. I know that there's a movement in play right now to at least take one of them out of service and just expand the open space in Reed Park. I don't think that would be a good idea. I think if we're going to offload any of the courses and turn it into open space, I think one of the other ones that's already hemorrhaging cash would be a better candidate. And frankly, if you do that, it doesn't become free. I mean, parks just aren't self-maintaining, and so it's not as though you lose the cost for operating a golf course and just create open space. You also lose the revenues involved in golfing, which you don't have if you just turn it into a park. So, yeah, we're going to look at golf. We're going to probably have to trim some of it. It doesn't mean we're going to sell space and turn it into housing units because of the restrictions. And, no, I don't believe Randolph Park is one of the areas that we ought to be turning into open space because of its location, because of its history, and because of the surrounding hotels are still relying on that when we do bring in outside events.
Speaking of Randolph Park, Reed Park, there is a success story that happened, and it's the Reed Park Zoo. We had the very sharp 35-year-old administrator of Reed Park Zoo, Jason Jacobs, with us on the program yesterday. The zoo set an attendance record, and they have great plans for the zoo, and I think they deserve a shout-out, Councilman.
Oh, I do too. You know, Jason's come in. He's done a great job. They've got an educational woman over there, Vivian Van Peenen, who does all the outreach to the community and bringing young people in, doing the tours, doing the whole educational bit. They've got a great staff, and what they really have also is the Tucson Zoological Society is a support group made up of residents of this community who really stepped up to the plate and funded over half of the elephant expansion, and they're always in the kind of a fundraising mode to support that facility and their operations out there. So, yeah, absolutely. Jason and the staff and the Tucson Zoological Group have done a great job with that facility.
Now, what is the latest with bonds? People perhaps voting, voters going to the polls and deciding on bonds, whether it's 2016 or whatever. What are you hearing with the bond situation with the county?
Well, I'm hearing that there's a real reluctance on the part of some of the members of the Board of Supervisors who ultimately would be the ones that have to decide to put a package on the ballot or not. Frankly, if they're not going to put a full court press on and make a real great marketing effort on this thing, then there's no reason for us to waste people's time and effort in educating themselves on all the different pieces of the package. I've got a pretty serious concern about the way the process works, though, and that is that it is really run by the county administrator and a small group of people. We're talking about $600-700 million worth of projects. I don't believe that the city of Tucson has a large enough voice in the discussion with respect to what projects that go on the ballot. We are about 50% of the tax base. We should probably wind up with about 50% of the project value in any bond package. I can give you a couple of quick examples. We're in kind of a pushing contest with respect to the Performing Arts Center. The county administrator thinks it ought to be that we ought to put $1 million into it and max. And I've spoken to several different people who say that's not going to get it up to the code that it needs to be at to bring a tenant in. There's no sense in spending $1 million or $2 million if it's not going to get it to the point that you need it. We have an argument going on, a discussion going on with respect to neighborhood reinvestment dollars. County administrator wants to spread those dollars equitably, in his words, around the region. Well, quite frankly, Bill, the stressed neighborhoods are in Midtown. They're not out in Oro Valley or out in unincorporated Pima County. So unless we fix the process by which items wind up on the bond package, I'm inclined to let the county tell the county, you guys can go it alone then if you know the city's not going to have an adequate voice in the process. We need to change some of the pieces of how the decision making as to how issues get on the ballot, how much they're funded for, and if we can fix some of those in terms of an IGA, intergovernmental agreement between the city and the county and the rest of the jurisdictions in the county. It's not just a city centric concern. I mean, Huckleberry's kind of been running that show for years, and I think it's time for a change and change in how the process works and. Frankly, a change in whose voices are heard at the table.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up here in about a minute with Steve Kasachek. What'd you think of Tim Steller's column, Grant Road, Grinding Toward an Attractive End? I'll tell you, I'm avoiding Grant Road, if at all possible. I just don't need to go and do another alignment on my car.
Yeah, Tim's right. And, you know, we need to expedite the process. Again, we are so process-centric in this region that things just drag on. I remember going to design charrettes probably 15 years ago on that thing. He's right. We need to get that thing going. What we are doing, though, as a city, is we are not going to wait for the RTA project process to play itself out. We're going to finish some utility work around the Country Club and Campbell and Swan corridor, and then do some repaving, because we can't wait 5 years. That place is going to be a dirt road by then.
Okay, Steve Kosacek, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon, Steve.
Same to you. Thanks a bunch, Bill.
All right, Steve Kosacek with us on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We want to thank Mike Emery and his team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike, thank you very much for being a supporter of the Buckmaster Show. I went over and looked at the operation, and I could not believe how clean all of the auto bays repair bays. They look great, and not only do they look good, but the technicians you have there do a top right job for all of your foreign and domestic automobiles. Find out more at perfectionautoworks.com, convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. Coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, then Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, and then the Daily Double 8 to 9 with Chris DeSimone. Ed Alexander will be producing those 3 hours, and he'll also be back with me at noon at 12:04 tomorrow. Ed is always a very busy man, and we do appreciate all of his support. On behalf of Ed, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.